Blog Talk Radio.
Has called in, and for all my internet listeners, glory be to God.
continue to listen to the music, and I will be right back. Hallelujah, God. I thank you, Father God. You are truly worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Please forgive us for any sins that we have committed, God, in omission or upcommission, God. Create in us a clean and pure heart, God, and renew a stand-free spirit within us this day, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. You are truly worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Minister Howard, are you on the line?
Yes, I am. Can you
hear me? Glory be to God. Yes, I can hear you. Welcome, woman of God. I yield the line over to you so the Holy Spirit can have his way in the mighty name of Jesus.
Well, thank you so very much, Evangelist Hannah. It is just such an honor and a privilege to be able to speak yet again on the Just Breathe program. I tell you, I have just been waiting to exhale these last few weeks, probably about the last 2 or 3 months. It has been very, very, very challenging, not only for myself but for my family. But God yet has a plan, you know, for us. And I truly just, you know, thank God for you asking me to speak, because it came at a time that God knows that this is something that I definitely needed to do. Before I start as well, you know, I just thank God for you. I thank God for your program. I just thank God for just being who he say that he is. I was told to give some shout outs, so I'm giving a shout out to Landon. Landon is almost a year, and he's in Dallas, Texas, and he's just a precious little man that's going to grow up into a wonderful man of God. So I'm giving the shout out to Landon on tonight. But truly, I thank and praise God for, as I said, being who he is. And as I pondered, and from some of the things that I have been going through, I was like, God, what do you want me to speak to the people about? And God had just placed in my heart, placed in my spirit, to talk about that God has a plan for you. So we need to know that God has a plan for us. And tonight our scripture is coming from a very, very, very familiar passage of scripture, and it has been made familiar these last few years. I think the first time I heard this scripture in my adult life was I was at a missions retreat in what we would call Roach, Missouri. And I said, now what's in Roach, Missouri? But I tell you, there on top of the mountain, how God just met us there. And one of the conferences, one of the ladies, she read this scripture. And I promise you, I had never heard it before. But it was Jeremiah 29 and 11. And in the Living Bible, it reads, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." And in the New International Version, it reads, "For I know the plans declared, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." I just want to say today that God has a plan for each and every one of our lives. And sometimes, you know, when we go through life and we begin to walk with God, you know, we start out when we at the time of conversion, you know, we start out everything just seems like everything is right. But then one day those trials and tribulations come along. But God wants us to yet know that he does still have a plan for our lives. And we sometimes think that because we're children of God, certain things shouldn't happen to us. But God never said that things would not happen to us. He just promised us that he had a future and a hope, and that the plans that he had for us, those plans would not harm us. But those plans would be for the good of of us. And I know that sometimes when we suffer heartache and we suffer pain, we suffer death and we suffer disappointment, but we have to yet remember that God yet has a plan for us. Sometimes it seems like that we're all alone and we just don't know which way we're going to go. We can't understand why we even are going through. And in spite of our circumstances, we have to yet still remember that God has a plan for us. We have to remember that God is with us in spite of our circumstances. If we look to the Bible and we look in Psalms 23 and 2, it says that, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." And we have to remember that God is with us no matter what. Hebrews 13 and 5 says that God said that he would never leave us, nor would he forsake us. And even read that scripture backwards. People probably never thought about it. But take a look at Hebrews 13 and 5, it says, God has said, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." So if you read it backwards, it says, "You forsake, I will never. You leave, I will never." So whether you're going or coming, you can realize and understand God will never leave you nor forsake you. He'll be right with you. And sometimes, you know, we're on the mountaintop, but every now and then we got to go to the valley. And we know that valleys are low places, and in order to actually get to a valley, we have to make a downward journey. But we have to remember that even in that valley, God yet has a plan for us. And then sometimes when we are walking with these shadows of death, and they are usually at the lowest, when we are at our lowest place in life, but we have to remember that God yet has a plan for us. When we suffer the death of a loved one, God yet has a plan, because even in death, God's plan is for us who mourn to be comforted. When we look at Matthew 5 and 4, it says, "Blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted." So yet, God does have a plan for us. And even when we're sometimes in this shadow of death, you know, this death shadows, you know, where we lost our job or we're having financial troubles, we have to remember that God yet has a plan for us, because Philippians 4:19 says that my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. So we have to remember that no matter what we go through, God yet has a plan for us. Even sometimes when we have relationships that end, God yet has a plan for us. At that point, God's plan is for us to live at peace with all men. If we look at Romans, the 12th chapter, and Romans 12:17-21, and a lot of times relationship ends because somebody did somebody wrong. Somebody done did something that they had no business doing, or somebody got tired of somebody. But we have to remember that even when our relationships, even when our friendships end, that we have to yet remember that God wants us to still live in peace with one another. That is God's plan, because God says, "Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody." A lot of realize and understand that when we go through things, people are looking to us to see how we are going to react. And then the Bible says in that 18th verses, "If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, you have to live at peace with everybody. Do not take revenge, but leave room for God to do it. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. But what we should do is, if we find out that our enemy is hungry, we have to feed him. If we find he is thirsty, we have to give him drink. In doing this, we will heap burning coals on his head. And the Bible tells us that we should never be overcome by evil, but we should overcome evil with good. We have to remember that God has a plan for us. We have to remember that God is with us, and we can never, never forget that. We have to remember that God's plans are good and not evil. That is why when we come against and we face people who or evil comes upon us, we should not fear, because why? God has a plan for us, and his plan is to give us a future and hope. And we have to remember that God is greater than any evil thing in this world. When we look over at 1 John 4:4, it says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And because we know that God is greater and he has a plan for us, that's why we can bless the Lord at all times and continually let God's praises flow through our heart. We must never, never, ever forget that God has a plan for us. There are some parents out there who are, yeah, God has a plan, but, you know, I just got these kids that, oh, my God, they are just terrible, and they just, oh, just won't do right, won't be right, they won't act right. But we have to know, even with our children, that God has a plan for us. And God not only has a plan for us, but God has a plan for them. And the Bible tells us that when we train up children the way that they should go, when we train them up in the Word of God, then may be old, and they may go off and do their own thing, but they will come back to the Lord. So we have to remember that we have to do the things that God has called for us to do. A lot of us think that, oh, my God, what is this world going to come to, because we haven't done things to really prepare the young people for the future. But we have to remember that God's plan is better than any plan that we can have. As Christians, we cannot worry about anything if we truly know and understand that God yet has a plan for everyone. We must teach our children not only how to survive in this world, but we have to teach them the ways of God. And a lot of people fail to teach them the ways of God. As I was saying, that one of the things we have to remember is that when we teach our children about God, we are empowering them with the knowledge of God's plan for them. Sometimes you've been around, say, no, I've heard children say, no, my mama, or no, that was my grandmama. But they have to come to know that God has a plan for them even in this life. It doesn't matter how far you may think they have gone astray. We have to remember that the blood of Jesus reaches there again, that lowest valley. We have to remember that the blood of Jesus can reach our children that are on drugs. We have to remember that the blood of Jesus can reach our children that are disobedient. We have to remember that the blood of Jesus can reach our children that are in the penal system. We must believe that the blood of Jesus can reach our daughters and our sons that are running wild. Why? Because God has a plan for all of us. We must speak it into the atmosphere. The Bible tells us that we can speak those things that are not as though they were. And a lot of times we have to say, I remember how a friend of mine, she was sharing with me how her brother had received like 40 years. The judge gave him 40 years. And as he was had been in prison, and he came up one time to visit them, and they had went to visit him, and he came up in shackles and chains. And how her mother said, she said her mother said, that man in those shackles and chains is not my son. My son is a street evangelist. Years had went by. The mother died. The brother was still yet in prison. But one day how God touched and changed his life, and today that man does street evangelism. So we have to believe that God will give us the things that he has called us to speak as though they were. We must speak life into their lives. We must tell them that God has given them a future and a hope. Now, we have to remember, and we must understand that we cannot speak anything into our children that we don't have. We cannot speak anything into our children that we don't believe. We cannot speak anything to our children and then wonder if our prayers will be answered. We cannot speak anything to our children if we live any kind of way before them. We have to lead by example. So we must first get our house in order. Do understand this. Every now and then, we got to take inventory. I just hate housework. I mean, I hate housework. But every now and then, I got to get in. Clean up my house. I got to clean up my house at those times when no company is coming over here. You know, a lot of times people kind of straighten up when company comes, but I have to clean up in those times when no company is not coming. So we have to take an assessment of how we are living. I remember this, and this was since I had been preaching. I've been preaching since 2002, and maybe about 3 years into my preaching, around 2005, or maybe even 4 years into my preaching, how one day I was talking, and I made a statement, and I said about my daughter growing up in a spiritual home. And I was just, you know, a Christian home, a spiritual home. And my daughter was actually sitting there, and my daughter made the statement. She said, "It don't feel like it." I looked, and I said, "Well, what did you say?" And she was bold enough to say, "It don't feel like it." That there, that statement right there, made me take an assessment of how I was living spiritually. I was saying she was growing up in a spiritual home because I thought I had all the I's dotted and all the T's crossed, but I had to take in a spiritual assessment of how I was living. And we have to ask ourselves, are we living our lives like God has a plan for us, or are we living our lives that cause our children to move further and further from God? And when we live our lives as saints, as Christians, as believers, and we cause our children to move further and further from God, what we then do is we create a generational gap in Christ Jesus. That's what makes them say, "That is for my mama," or "That was for my grandmother." No, we have to take an assessment of our lives. I had to apologize to my daughter. I had to tell her, "I'm sorry." And I guarantee you, you will never have to worry about ever having to make that statement again. I've been to go down in prayer, and I had to get like David. I had to ask God to create in me a clean heart and renew in me a right spirit so that I can be an example to my daughter. I wanted to be like Paul when Paul boldly spoke to the believers by saying, follow me as I follow Christ. But many of us, we are saying, follow me, but don't see what I'm doing. Or better yet, do what I say, but not what I do. When we as parents start living like we know that God has a plan for our lives, then our children and their children will know that no matter what comes or what goes, that God has a plan for their lives. When we start living the way that God has called us to live, then we will know that those around us will be blessed. You know, when we start living, I remember the last time I spoke on the program, I preached about faith. And before that, I preached at a church, Faith Lutheran Church. I preached about faith. And I went down to the Door Hope Mission and I preached about faith. And then things started to happen in my life. And I was like, oh, my God, what's going on? And God said, now that you've preached about all this faith that reaches the invincible and can beat the unbeatable and move the unmovable, it's time for you to stand on your faith, because you have to realize and understand that without faith, you can't even begin to please me. The same faith that you're talking about, you have to then live it out. And I had to start standing on the faith that I had talked about. And as I began to stand on the faith that I had talked about and how God has showed me, when you understand and you live like I have called you to live, when you start realizing and understand that you have a future and a hope, when you begin to realize and you begin to understand that the plans that I have for you are not plans of disaster, but they are plans of good, then not only would you be blessed, but those around you will be blessed. People of God, you got to understand this. You got to realize this. You got to know this, that when you bless the people of God, God will bless you. When you're good to the people of God, I don't care who you are, when you are good to the people of God, God will be good to you. And then because God has a plan not only for our lives but for our children's life and our children's children's life, we have to remember that God's plan is to even bless our seed. We have to remember that the plan that God has for us is one that should never, ever, ever into question, no matter what happens. We have to remember that with God's plan, even though sometimes things get a little hectic, we get a little tired, but we cannot be weary in well doing, because God has a plan for us to reap if we faint not. We have to remember that even though sometimes we get a little tired, we get a little weary, we have to remember that if we stand firm and let nothing move us, and if we always give our lives fully to the work that God has called us to do, we know that our labor for the Lord will not be in vain. We have to remember that God has a plan for us. And as we live out this plan, we have to know what God's plan is. A lot of people walk around saying that I'm this and I'm that in Christ Jesus. And if somebody was to ask them, how do you know you're that? They can't even begin to tell them how they know. But you have to know exactly what God thinks of you. God's plan is this, for you to know that you are the apple of his eye. How do you know you're the apple of God's eye? Because he sent his most precious gifts to bring you back to him and to live with him forever. If you go to 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, the 18th through the 20th verse, it just firmly states this. It says that all this is from God, who reconciled you to himself through Christ Jesus and gave the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. And as God was making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So God made us the apple of his eye because through Christ we have become the righteousness of God. We have to know that God's plan is this. Know that God has a plan for you to have peace. God will give you peace that the world cannot understand. Everything in your life could be going all wrong. I mean, everything could be going wrong. Your husband could leave. You could lose your job. Your kids acting up. But yet you will have peace, peace that will pass all understanding. We have to know that God does not do evil to us. Satan is the one that walks the earth with his demons, who does evil things, and he seeks out who he can do evil things. Yes, God will allow us to be tempted, but we can overcome the temptations because we are not tempted beyond what we can bear. The Bible also declares that all good and perfect gifts are from God, the creator of all things. God is forever shining, and he does not change. We have to remember that Jesus Christ is what? The same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So God is the same. He doesn't change. God does not move. We move when we move out of our position, when we deviate from God's plan that he has for us, a lot of times that is when things happen. But there are yet some times when things do happen to us, and we aren't supposed to even think twice about when those things are happening to us, because the Bible says that we are not supposed to think about when things happen to us, because when we come through the test and we come through the fire, we will come forth as pure gold. We have to know that God has a future just for us. Satan constantly goes in the presence of God to accuse you for all the wrong in your life. And I know this is true because sometimes I could be going on about my merry way, and here I am, 49 years old, and I don't think about something I did wrong at 10. So Satan comes to accuse us and to go to bring about all the wrong things that we've done in life. But we have to remember, because the Bible says that it is with the blood of Jesus and the words of our testimony that we win. In Hebrews, it says, Hebrews 4 and 15, it says that our high priest, Christ Jesus, understands our weaknesses because he had the same temptations that we do. But Jesus never gave into them, and he never sinned. We have to know this, that God took the sinless Christ and poured into him our sin. Then in exchange, see, it had to be an exchange. Then in exchange, Christ poured God's goodness into us. He took our sins at crucifixion, and then we got God's righteousness at our conversion. When we accepted Christ into our hearts, then God made us righteous. We got something that was very valuable for something that was worthless. Our sins were worthless, but we got eternal life with Christ, something very valuable for our sins. We receive goodness and mercy to follow us every day of our life. We receive the power of the Holy Ghost. We were given an armor to stand against the tricks of the evil one. These are all the valuable things that we receive for our sins. We were given direction because of his word, and we are able to walk in the light where we walk because we have now become the light of the world. We receive fruit that enables us to love in spite of. We don't tolerate, but we love. We do because God told us to. When we want joy, we get joy, joy that gives us strength. We get faithfulness. When others quit, we can still yet go on because that is all a part of the future that God has for us. Another thing that the plan that God has for us is that when we become in Christ, we become a new creation. Old things have passed away, and yet all things then become new. We have to remember that even though we go along and sometimes things happen and sometimes we don't understand and sometimes we yet feel that we may be all alone, we have to remember that God has given us something that he promised that he would give to us. He has given us everlasting life. He said that whosoever believes on me, he will. Then whosoever believe on me, he will come into their hearts. Whosoever proclaim me as Lord of their life, he will in exchange give them eternal life. The heart of the Bible that we always talk about, the heart of the Bible that we quote and we have to really, really understand the meaning of it. It says that for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That is the plan that God has for us and for our lives. His plan is to prosper us. When you are thirsty, you can be just like the woman at the well when Jesus told her that everyone who drinks from this natural fountain, they will thirst again. But anyone who drinks the water that I give him will never thirst again. The Bible also talks about how out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. God has a plan for you. We have to realize and understand in God's plan, his ways are not our ways. God's plan, we may plan to go left, but God may say, go right. God's plan is to do the invisible. It reached the impossible. God's plan is to show you that I am God. God's plan is to for us to stand still and to see the salvation of the Lord. God's plan is for us to put our faith in action. God's plan is to quench that thirst that we have for him. God's plan is to bring us up out of dead and dry places and to bring us into a well of living water. God's plan is for man to love him with all of their heart, with all of their soul, and with all of their mind, and with all of their strength. That is what God's plan is for us. So today, I just want to stop by and just share with you and let you know that God has a plan for you. And I don't ever want to forget this. Know this, that the word says this, that for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a future and to give you hope. Father God, we do thank you, oh God, for this time. God, we thank you for Evangelist Hannah. Oh God, we thank you for the Just Breathe program. God, we ask right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, that some woman, man, boy, or girl who may have heard this program, oh God, we ask that right now, Lord Jesus, that you would just meet their need, oh God. God, if they don't know you, oh God, let them come to know you in the pardon of their sins, oh God. Someone who may have just lost hope, oh God, ask that their hope is renewed, oh God, right now in you, oh God. Someone who just may be feeling a little down and in despair, oh God, just let them know that you are yet there, oh God, to comfort them and to keep them and to build them up in the mighty name of Jesus. God, we just thank you. God, we just love you. God, we just adore you. God, we lift you up. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen, and glory to God. What a word, woman of God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And if you just heard that prayer, and if you're on the phone lines or over the internet and you have not called on Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can say this prayer out to me and call on him now, because the peace and the promises of God before in your life once you have accepted him, Jesus, as your Lord and Savior. So say, Father God, I know that I am a sinner. Come into my heart and forgive me of my sins. By faith, I believe that Jesus died and rose again in the name of Jesus. I give my heart and my life to you. If you prayed that prayer, glory be to God, welcome into the body of Christ. And I pray that God will overflow you with the rivers of living water running out of your belly. You can go to kingdomdaughters.org and put in a comment box to let us know. If you need a Bible, we will send you a Bible. If you need prayer, put it in the comment box. Let us know. And again, welcome into the body of Christ. And the angels, Son of Osea, is rejoicing. Glory be to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. And also, mm-hmm. Kingdom Daughters is having a prophetic conference October the 27th, 28th, and 29th. That's Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. On the 103rd and King Drive, glory be to God. You can go to kingdomdaughters.org and get more information or register for the conference. I know that in these end times, everyone is not called to be a prophet or a prophetess, but everyone needs to know and recognize the voice of God. The teacher of the conference is Apostle Emmett, a powerful man of God, and he is kingdom builders covering. Glory be to God. And so, Holy Spirit, I just pray that you would just touch the hearts of your people to know that you are drawing them so the eyes of their understanding may be opened even the more in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Now, I'm going to open the lines up for prayer requests, testimonies, or comments. Glory be to God. The lines are now open. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. When God truly used you, woman of God, I thank God for letting him use you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I can hear the fire in your voice. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank
to God be the glory.
Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You are truly worthy. Thank you, Father. I'm going to pray over you, woman of God. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, I just plead the blood of Jesus over the woman of God right now. I come against any spirits of retaliation in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray right now, Lord God, that you will fill her with a double portion of all that she have poured out tonight to your people in the name of Jesus. I pray that you will continue, Lord God, to supply every need for the woman of God in the name of Jesus, Lord God. I cover her and her household and her daughter in the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Hey, Lord, I pray that you will continue, God, to speak to her, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, to elevate her in you, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. I pray for breakthrough in her life, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord God. I cover her family also, Lord God, in the blood of Jesus, Lord God. For the ones that do not know you, Father, I pray that they will come to know you, Lord God,
yes,
in their
Lord.
Precious Lord and Savior. I pray that you will draw them, Lord God. Because your word says that you draw them in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God. You will put someone in their path, Lord God, to speak a word to them, to love on them, to show forth the love of Christ. And it is your that will plant the seed and that you will send somebody else to do the watering, but you will draw them onto you, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray, amen, and glory be to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You're truly worthy, God. You're truly worthy, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. So anybody on the lines have any comments, a testimony, a prayer request? Hello? I can hear you. Can you pick up a little louder? Hello? I think I lost some. Glory be to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah, God. Well, woman of God, I thank you for coming on again. Glory be to God. And letting God use you. Hallelujah, Jesus. I'm going to play a song right quick.
Person, if you're looking for somebody, he's gone. And he don't need nobody else. There's no question of your greatness, nor searching of your power. Oh, the wonder of your glory, to you 40 years is but 1 hour. Your knowledge is all encompassing, to your wisdom there is no end. Oh, for you alone are God. You are God alone. Your mercy is everlasting. Your truth is here always. You are He who was and is to come.
Glory to God. We know that He is truly God alone. Well, I thank you again, woman of God. I love you. God bless you. If there's no comments or no prayer requests, I thank you for everyone that's called in and for all the internet listeners. Glory be to God. And y'all have a blessed evening. And continue to just breathe. Glory to God.
Now run to the King.